Night Beat.
Hi there. This is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Daily. Stories start in many different ways. This one began with a search for the clear light of truth and ended with a vision in the darkness.
Night Beat, starring Hop McGuire as Randy Stone.
There's one thing that never stops amazing me. It's the fact that of all the thousands of millions of people in the world, you never come across two who are exactly alike. I'm not talking of physical looks. That's not important. I'm talking about the nature of people. Sure, some are honest, some dishonest, some brave, some cowardly, some good, some bad, and so on, but they're only the basic things. Human nature is always different. And I guess the nearest you ever get to sameness is with that select group who toss away all pride, all personal ambition, all bigotry, and conscientiously look for the absolute truth in all things. Sonia Harden was one of these people, although I didn't realize it that first day she called on me at the office.
So if you're too busy or something, you just say so, Mr. Stone.
Well, newspaper men are always busy, but there's always time to talk.
Thanks. I'm Sonia Harden, Paul Harden's daughter.
Paul Harden, eh? Your father's a big man in this city.
He has a lot of money and a lot of influence.
That's what I meant. But just what can I do for you, Miss Harden?
Just tell me the truth, that's all.
You figure that newspaper men can tell the truth?
I think you can.
Well, that's high praise indeed.
It's the reason I've come to see you, Mr. Stone. You see, I've often read your column about all the people you meet. The way you write, you seem, well, unbiased. Like you see other people's points of view as well as your own.
It's not always possible to do that, you know, but I do try.
But how are you to know the difference? I mean, one person tells you one thing, someone else tries to tell you just the opposite. How do you know which is right?
Well, there are a couple of yardsticks to go by. Depends on what sort of person you are, which one you use. If you're being loyal to a person or a cause, you take their part through thick and thin. If you're an individualist, it's not so easy.
Maybe I'm an individualist, then. You see, I can't usually see that any side is all right and the other all wrong.
Is it some guy that's worrying you?
In a way. But not the way you're thinking, I guess. The guy is my father.
Paul Harden, eh? You figure the old man's been stringing a yarn or two that could be fairy tales.
Yes. Yes, that's about the strength of it. It's something I came across by accident. A business secret, I guess you'd call it.
You worrying about one of Paul Harden's business secrets? It seemed crazy that a girl like Sonia Harden should be getting all intense about business. She was 17, pretty as a picture, sincere, intelligent, the whole works. In any case, I figured that her old man was well capable of looking after his own interests. Yet here she was in my office asking questions about truth and lies, good and bad. I knew that I had to answer straight, real straight, because you don't beat around the bush with people like that.
You know about my father. He's one of the richest men in the state. That's beside the point. This thing I came across. I wasn't snooping, Mr. Stone. I just found it by accident. Well, I thought about it for a while. Then I asked him.
Yes, and then what?
The answer didn't come just straight, like it should have done. You see, I always trusted him before.
Well, business is business, you know, Sonia. Sometimes the big deals aren't so, well, clean as you'd like them to be.
And there's two sides to every question?
Yeah, that's just about it.
But which side is right? How do you know that?
Well, that brings us back to those yardsticks we were talking about. Remember?
Yes. The first one was if you owe loyalty to someone or something, you back them all the way.
That's right. Do you figure that you owe loyalty to your father in this case?
No. No, I just can't see it that way.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, this is the hard one. How do you know which side's right? There's only one way to really know, and that's to stand right in the middle between both sides. Then you look long and hard each way. It's got to be an issue that doesn't mean a thing to you personally. You've got to think just as much or just as little of the people on both sides. And you've got to be made so that you don't care whether people like you and praise you or hate you and curse you. Then I figured be standing at the right place to do the judging.
It's a tall order, Mr. Stone. But I guess it's right. Yeah, I guess it's right.
If a man got to be like that all the way through, he'd make the best president in the history of the United States.
In the history of the world, maybe.
Yes, Sonia. In the history of the world. She walked out of there a puzzled, confused kid, leaving me no less puzzled and confused. I forgot the whole thing until a few days later when a guy just walked into my office like he owned the place. He sat down in the chair over on the other side of my desk and stared at me solidly for maybe half a minute. There was no giveaway expression on his face at all, not a flicker. So I just sat there and waited.
Mm-hmm. You Randy Stone?
That's the name on the door.
I'm Paul Harden.
What can I do for you?
You know my daughter.
Oh, I met her 2, maybe 3 days ago. Why?
What did she say to you?
Nothing that I'm in any mood to repeat.
She talk about me?
Maybe.
Oh, she talked about you when she got home.
That's very flattering. As it happens, Mr. Harden, I was able to give your daughter a piece of advice, something maybe her own father should have told her long ago.
Something about being two sides to every question, huh?
If you know all the answers, why ask all the questions?
What did she say about me, Stone?
Look, Mr. Harden, if you've got any guilty secrets, you don't want to start worrying yet.
It's not a matter of guilty secrets, Mr. Stone. But you must realize I have business rivals. People who'd give a lot to know some of the things I know.
And some of the things your daughter knows, eh?
Oh, maybe.
Then maybe I could give some advice to the rest of the family. You should try getting Sonia's confidence. Try getting her on your side.
That's just what you told her not to do. You figured she should stand in the middle and look both ways.
Oh, let's just put it this way. Your daughter didn't tell any secrets in this office. She just came in and asked me what I thought of right and wrong and truth and lies on a matter of principles. I gave her my views, and that's all there is to it.
That's not all there is to it. Last night, Sonia disappeared. There's not a trace, nor a word of her.
Paul Harden's manner had suddenly changed. From the tough, uncompromising businessman, he suddenly became the worried father. I felt sorry for him, but mostly I was wondering what had happened to that 17-year-old girl who'd sat and talked with me a few days before. I asked the questions, the usual ones. If there was some boyfriend, if there was some place she might have wanted to go without telling her folks.
So far as we know, there was no reason for her just to go, Mr. Stone. She's never done anything like that before.
Then there's something else you must face, Mr. Harden. You're a wealthy man. Sonia could have been kidnapped.
It's something I've faced.
You've reported to the police, of course.
No, and I'm not going to.
But that's crazy. If Sonia has been kidnapped...
If she has been kidnapped, it's not for money.
I don't get it.
I don't seem to have any alternative but to trust you, Stone. Can I do that?
You wouldn't be asking a newspaper man to suppress a story.
Yes, I would.
Then why tell me? If you don't want to go to the cops, hire yourself a private detective.
Oh, no. I think maybe you are the only one who can help.
But I still don't get it, but... All right, I'll promise not to print the story if you can give me a sound reason why I shouldn't.
A reason like America's defense program?
Well, fair enough for me, but...
Look at it this way, Stone. The reason why I grilled you before I told you Sonia was missing was to find out if she'd been talking secrets to you.
Defense secrets?
Yes. Apparently she didn't say anything along that line. So, that looks as if there's been no leakage through you.
I don't deal in those kind of things. What's more, I don't figure Sonia would either.
She wouldn't deal in them. The point is, she might accidentally let the cat out of the bag. You see, she might have seen something in my papers. Well, you know what kids are like.
As I remember, she had seen something in your papers, but so far as I could gather, it wasn't about any defense program. She seemed to think it was some kind of, well, some deal that wasn't quite square.
And that's all she said?
That's all. She didn't give any details. I didn't ask her for any. Except that she said she had talked to you about it.
Oh, that. Well, that was something different again. I explained it to her.
You mean you explained your side of the story?
That is beside the point. The thing is, if she's found out one thing, she could have found out something else. And if it's the thing I have in mind, she's in unlawful possession of official secrets, and that's a security offense.
So?
So we have to find her.
We being you and me?
Being you, Stone. I can't do much, but you've got the contacts. Find Sonia, and it's worth $1,000 to you.
It was a story that didn't add up. Okay, take it at face value. Hardin's daughter goes missing, and he figures that she might know about some defense secret. And if he gets the FBI to look for her, there'd be some awkward questions to answer. Against that, Sonia might have been kidnapped. She might be in real danger. And the secret Hardin was worrying about might become known in some quarter where it could do a lot of damage. It was almost as if Hardin didn't even count the kidnapping theory, and yet he was offering me $1,000 to find the girl. I made routine checks at the hospitals and the morgue and drew blanks both places. Then I dropped into one of my favorite little dives to take in coffee and think about it all.
Hi, Mr. Stone.
Sonia.
This is one of the places you often mention in your column. I thought you'd come here sooner or later.
Well, I've been searching everywhere for you. You okay, kid?
I'm okay. So far.
Your old man came and told me you'd gone missing.
That was quite smart. He knew I'd get in touch with you.
Knew you'd get in touch with me?
That's right. That means you've probably been followed.
Just what is all this?
We have to get away from here quickly, before his people find us.
Look, Sonia, this is crazy. A few hours ago, your old man offered me $1,000 to find you.
$1,000? Well, that's much too cheap, Mr. Stone. To get me back home again is going to cost my father something over $1,000,000.
Before Randy Stone continues his story, here's your announcer. You are listening to Night Beat. Randy Stone continues his story.
A pretty 17-year-old girl tells me we've got to move out fast, that I've probably been followed. The best place I know for getting lost is the heart of the city, so we pile into my car and drive uptown.
Heavens, we got away from there. I was expecting them to come any minute.
Look, what did you mean back there? You said it was going to cost your father something over $1,000,000 to get you back home.
That's right. Those are the terms. Mr. Stone, you think I could be worth $1,000,000?
Listen, kid. An honest man or woman's worth more dough than there is in all the world. Are you being honest?
I'm being more honest than I thought anybody could be.
And $1,000,000?
That's about what my father will lose if he accepts my terms. It's not cash to me, you do understand that.
I'm following you, go on.
It's something he's going to do, but it's wrong. He mustn't do it. Mr. Stone, I did what you said. I stood midway and looked at both sides, and I'm quite sure it's wrong. You've got to believe me.
I do believe you. But what do we do about it?
We wait for my father's decision. He knows the terms.
Suppose you tell me.
A while ago, they called for tenders for a big defense contract, some chemical thing. I don't have the details. One of the chemists at my father's plant found out the new process. It cut the price around 50%.
That's legitimate business.
Sure, I know. My father got the contract, changed over the plant for the new process, and now they're ready to go. Ready to make just over $1,000,000 for my father.
Still okay. That's business. That's the way it goes.
But it's not okay. This new process is dangerous. And the people who are going to work it don't know.
Well, your father knows. Isn't he taking any safety precautions?
So far, there aren't any that can be taken. I saw the chemist's report.
Then it's up to your father to stop this process until safety measures can be found.
That's what I said. Only there's a delivery date for the contract. Unless they get working on it right away, They'll lose the contract.
What about the chemist himself? What does he think about it?
The chemist's got a big bonus. He won't talk.
What does the stuff do?
It's the fluid they use. It gives off fumes, and they reckon that some of the people working with it will lose their sight.
Blindness. But isn't there any sort of a mask, or respirator, or goggles, or something?
Not so far. My father said when the contract's finished, he'll publish the chemist's report and withdraw the process.
But that could be too late for some of the people working in the plant.
By then, some of them might be blind.
Sonia, this is very serious. You're absolutely sure about all this?
Absolutely sure.
Okay, then. Well, you don't have to worry about it anymore, though. I can write this story without any names in a way that'll force an inquiry. They won't let him use the process until it's been examined by experts.
It's not as easy as that, Mr. Stone. You're forgetting your own tip. You're forgetting to look at both sides. You're all on my side, on the side of the people who are working in the plant. You're forgetting two things. $1 million my father stands to lose.
But $1 million, any number of dollars, is no sort of bargain against people's eyesight.
There's the other argument, too. My father made a lot of it when I was talking to him about it. This is a defense contract. You know, vital materials or strategic equipment or something, it all adds weight.
Not nearly enough weight.
That all depends on which side you're on. No, Mr. Stone. The decision is my father's. He has to make it.
This is getting crazier all the time. I can't see it as your father's decision.
You will see it that way, I promise you. And you'll see it that way before it's too late. Now, look, I've got a telephone call to make. Can we stop by the next drugstore, please?
Sure.
What time is it?
Time? 12:45. There's a drugstore now. I'll pull over. I sat in the car outside that drugstore about 10 minutes before it finally penetrated my thick head that Sonia had given me the slip. I hurried inside, but the two telephone booths were empty. The soda jerk said a girl answering the description had walked in the front door and out the side without stopping. I wasted another 15 minutes working out the next move until I figured I should get down to the hardened chemical plant, but fast. It's Randy Stone. Open up.
Randy Stone, huh? You the guy that writes in the paper?
Yeah, that's me.
Well, sorry, Mr. Stone. Can't let you in. Orders, you see. No one allowed in the plant after dark.
No one at all. Did you get any visitors tonight?
No, not what you'd call visitors.
Where'd she go? Inside?
I don't know what you're talking
about. Miss Harden, Miss Sonia Harden, is she in there?
Look, sir, you ain't got no right
to... Is she in there or isn't she?
She's the boss's daughter. It's different for her.
Get out of my way.
I'm sorry, mister. I just can't...
Well, I'm sorry about this, pal, but... The watchman went down with a single smack I landed to his jaw. It was too bad, but I didn't have any time for talking nice and social. I went into the plant. A big, tall, ghostly-looking place like some great vaulted barn. There were benches and vats, all sorts of equipment that was new to me. The whole thing dimly lit by an occasional small electric lamp way up in the roof. Sonia! Sonia, this is Randy Stone! Sonia, I know you're in here. If you're thinking of destroying the place, it won't work. He'd only build it up again. Answer me, Sonia, I know you're here. I'm coming over there. If you're setting some sort of fuse, I'll still be here.
There's no fuse. It's safe. I'm going out this way.
Sonia!
I'm locking this door. You'll have to go the other way.
Sonia! Wait for me! Sonia had gone, so I went back to my office and just sat there at my desk. Going through and through the details in my mind, trying to work out one useful thing I could do. It got to 2 a.m., 2:30. Then the telephone rang. Randy Stone.
This is Sonia, Mr. Stone.
Sonia, where are you? Are you all right?
I'm okay. Did you hear from my father?
No, I've been trying to contact him.
Are you sure my father didn't telephone or leave any message?
Sure, I'm sure, but don't worry about that.
It's terribly important, Mr. Stone. But don't you worry. Everything will be okay now. See you soon, Mr. Stone.
Sonia, listen to me. Sonia. Sonia! I tried to get the call traced, but it was too late. And so again, I had to sit down and wait. It wasn't easy. I had the feeling that precious moments were ticking away, that terrible feeling of uselessness. And then, with the clock at 3:05, Paul Harden came into my office.
All right, Stone. Where is my daughter?
I don't know where your daughter is, Harden, and I don't think I'd tell you if I did.
I see. I've brought you a present, Stone. Your story for the morning edition.
I have a story, Harden. A story about...
Can it? In that envelope is a big story. $1 million story.
I see.
It's the story of Paul Harden canceling a big defense contract for the benefit of mankind.
Aye, how times change. Except you're still figuring it's the Paul Harden story.
And so it is. In that envelope is a chemist's report on a new process we figured on using. But it's dangerous stuff. I've decided to withdraw it.
Mighty generous.
$1 million generous.
You must feel quite a hero.
I do. That's the way I figure you should handle the story.
I always handle a story the way it seems to me.
Okay, but the facts speak for themselves. You'd better tell Sonia she can come home now.
I got rid of Harden as fast as I could. His manner, his arrogance, his conceit made me sick. And as soon as he'd gone, I went around to the night editor. I figured Harden was as slippery as a snake and didn't want to be caught on any tricks. So I left the envelope unopened with the night man and asked him to go through it with a couple of witnesses standing by. Then I went back to my own office, and Sonia was there, standing over by the window, with the first light of the false dawn creeping up over the Manhattan skyline. Sonia!
Hello, Mr. Stone.
Well, come and sit down. I've got news for you.
You sit down. I like it here for a while. Sit down and I'll give you the story.
Well, that's the second offer I've had tonight. Your father was in here not more than a quarter hour ago.
In here?
Yeah, he brought me a packet. I'm just having it checked in now. Well, I figure it's the job.
The chemist's report?
Yeah. He said he was abandoning the project.
How very like my father. He always spoils everything. 2:00 was the deadline. You know that. That was the bargain I made with him.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's 3:30, but we can still make the morning edition.
But 2:00 was the time. He knew he had to find me and force me to go back home or turn in the report to your office by 2:00. He didn't do it. It wasn't here by 2:00. I rang you myself at 2:30. It wasn't here.
Well, take it easy, kid. You don't have to worry anymore.
Don't have to worry! Randy Stone, I'm turning around. Look at me.
Sonia. Sonia turned round from the window, and where her eyes had been, there was now something shapeless, colorless, sightless.
Those were my terms with my father, Mr. Stone. He should turn in that report and cancel the defense contract, or I would pour the raw fluid into my own eyes.
People. The people you meet. Who are they? What are they? They're people like a certain chemist who'll take a bribe to keep quiet about a report, although he knows a lot of others are going to suffer. There are people like Paul Harden. Big, strong, tough, unscrupulous. The kind of guy who has more of everything than he'll ever use, and still he wants more. He'll lie, cheat, and swindle. When he's beaten, he turns the victory of his opponent to bitterness and loss. And there are people like Sonia. Not very many of them. But they keep their bargains, whatever it costs. They know instinctively the difference between right and wrong, and they never once waver from the path they've chosen. Maybe Harden didn't really believe Sonia would keep her threat, I don't know. It's not for me to judge. But he did leave it an hour or two late to have this million-dollar story told his way. So I'm not writing a story about a big man and big business making big gestures. That sort of thing falls kind of flat beside the story of Sonia. Copy, boy.
Night Beat, a dramatic series, stars Hop McGuire as Randy Stone and is a Grace Gibson radio production directed by Lawrence H. Cecil. Others in the cast were Frank Waters, Ward Leopold, Howard Craven, and as Sonia Harden, you heard Amber May Cecil. Listen next week, same time, same station, when again you will hear Randy Stone in another action-packed story of Night Beat.